Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Quiet Time Coaching episode 25. We've reached the quarter century. And today we're going to talk about how to be humble, hungry, and smart in our relationship with God. And these three qualities have an impact on much more than just our relationship with God, and particularly what we're going to look at today, our prayer life, but they are really important. Being humble, hungry, and smart. I mean, I wonder what you think are the three most essential qualities of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And I might submit that perhaps none are more important than being humble, hungry, as in spiritually ambitious, and smart, by which we're talking about having an empathy, a connection with God and a connection with other people in the same way that God has with us and with others. We'll talk more about that a bit later. So I should explain about this. I've just finished reading a really fascinating book called, let me get the title right, called The Ideal Team Player, How to Recognize and Cultivate the Three Essential Virtues. And it's by Patrick Lencioni. I'm not quite sure the correct pronunciation there. Perhaps you can help me out. Now, the book is written as a fable, as a story. It's about a chap called Jeff who becomes unexpectedly the CEO of a company. It's a baptism of fire for him, and it's what he learns and what the company learn about, well, about who fits in a team, really. And they come out with these three qualities as being crucial: humility, hunger, and being smart. I really like the book. It's easy to read, brings the point across very easily. It's very illuminating, and it's not very long. So this conclusion that what matters when you're part of a team is being humble, hungry, and smart, not only are about performing well in a team for yourself, but also helping the team perform well. And I think that's all true, and in some ways, of course, is common sense, but then, as someone once said, there's nothing so uncommon as common sense. But what does that mean? What's the application of that? Well, I have to think about this for myself, don't I? Am I humble, spiritually hungry and ambitious, and smart, empathetic? Perhaps it'd be the shortest way to describe that. And in fact, not only what do I think, but what do other people say and think about me? How do I come across? How do I interact with people? And unfortunately, I can bring to mind plenty of recent events that show me to be deficient in at least one of these areas, if not two or even three at times. So I'm not sharing about this to point the picture, the finger at anybody else, but to say I must reflect on this, as we must all, if we're going to be part of God's team. And being part of God's team, I believe, in demonstrating these qualities to the people around us and interacting with people, I believe the place to start is our relationship with God. Are we humble and hungry and smart with Him? If we are, and if we learn from Him, then I would say that these qualities can then be developed in us and be a blessing to the people around us, whether they are the lost or part of our fellowships. So I want to look at all three of these, and of course they're all huge, and I'm only going to be able to touch on the surface of each of them. But rather than do all three in one go, I'm going to do one today and then the other two in two further episodes of Quiet Time Coaching. So the first one today is humility, the big one, and we'll look at that today and think about the issue of what it means to be humble and look at the basics of it, at least as to how it may impact the quality of our prayer life. So that's our focus, at least for today. Let me quote to you from the book what it says in trying to define humility and how that it has an impact as a team player. So they say this: great team players lack excessive ego or concerns about status. They are quick to point out the contributions of others and slow to seek attention for their own. They share credit, emphasize team over self, and define success collectively rather than individually. You might have to go back, rewind, and listen to that again to think about it. But I like that definition of humility as it pertains to teamwork, and I think it has many applications to our relationship with God, that we lack ego, that we're not concerned about our status before God, that we point out God's contributions We are slow to seek attention for our own, but focus on his work. We share credit with God. We emphasize God's work over our own and success collectively. That it's God's success, not just our own, or that we're involved with it. We could talk more about that. That'll have to wait for another time. But when I read that, I felt a combination of ouch for myself, and then also a little bit of the overwhelm. So before I run screaming for the hills, or you do, with a sense of overwhelmment, let's think about what the Bible says about humility and prayer specifically. So first of all, number one, people prayer. Humility in prayer, or a lack of it, is revealed by the way in which we talk about other people in prayer. Let's take the example of Luke 18, where the well-known example of the Pharisee who prays in this way. He stands up and prays, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, give a tenth of all I get. So he is comparing himself with this person near to him and others far from him, and at least I'm not like that. So this comparison is very unhelpful. Jesus clearly labels this as pride and contrasts it with the attitude of the tax collector. The way we talk about other people in prayer tells us a lot about our own levels of humility. And indeed, if we are talking down about other people before God, it reveals our own insecurity. Perhaps it's because we really know we're not worthy, and we're fearful that God will not accept us. It's not true humility. If we think we have to portray ourselves as better than others to God, we fundamentally misunderstand the nature of God's love for humankind, including you and I. God has no favorites. He loves everybody equally, the sinner and the saint, however we might define those. So first of all, people prayer. Secondly, submissive prayer. Submissive prayer. Now, submission's become a bit of a dirty word in recent times. And it has, of course, been used, the concept of submission, in error and in abusive ways. So we can't accept any abuse of this. But we're not talking about forced submission here. We're talking about true biblical submission. And biblical submission is always willing. I'm not saying just because it's supposed to be willing and it's in the Bible, it's easy. But a sign of prayerful humility is that we submit our requests when we're praying to God according to his will. We're happy to lay our requests before God and leave them with him to be answered, fulfilled, according to his will. That prayerful submission makes such a difference, and that's a sign of humility. This is what lies behind the famous phrase in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will, not my will, not our will, your will be done. And I suppose it's best illustrated in Gethsemane, for example, Luke chapter 22, verse 42, when Jesus is in the garden and he says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And that's a submissive prayer. Thirdly, humility in prayer is just demonstrated, I believe, by confident prayer, which might seem a bit strange. Confident, not arrogant prayer, not self-focused prayer, but confident prayer. A characteristic of humble prayer is confidence, because this demonstrates true trust in the God to whom we are praying. It's like it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Approaching the throne of grace with confidence. That's what God wants from us, and that is actually a sign of humility. To approach God, let's think about it from the other side of things, to approach God with trepidation, with fear, with uncertainty, with hesitation, indicates that we believe that our judgment about ourselves is more valid than God's judgment of us. He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear our prayers. He wants to answer our prayers. He wants to be with us. He accepts us. Jesus is there interceding for us. The Holy Spirit is helping, according to Romans chapter 8. Now, we must not give in to the temptation to trust our own judgment above God's. And that's why we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. Confidence he accepts us. Not always that he will give us what we ask for, but that's not the point of prayer. The point of prayer is not to get what we ask for. The point of prayer is to share our hearts and our lives and our needs with God and to offer him things in prayer and to request things according to our needs, but still according to his will. So we have a life with God. We share a life with him because we communicate with him. And that's one sign of true humility, I believe, at least how it's expressed in prayer. So what does this mean for our daily prayer lives, for you and I as we pray? Let me make three suggestions, and then I'd like to know what you think as well. But firstly, pray for the good of others. Pray for their good. Don't look down on them. Don't pray them down. Pray for their good. Pray for even your, Jesus says, pray for your enemies. Pray for those you find difficult to get along with. Pray for others. Pray to see other people as God sees them, valuable and loved. That's how he sees us. Pray to see them perhaps the way that Jesus saw the thief on the cross in Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Somebody worth saving. Somebody worth talking to. Secondly, not only pray for the good of others, but pray to be willing for God's will to be done in your life. Even if you can't actually pray for the thing you think God wants done, at least pray for God to help you to be willing for God's will to be done in your life. Pray for the strength to trust him when his will is different from your own. That's where the rubber hits the road. Pray for the kind of joy that Jesus had as he approached the cross, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. There was a joy there, even though there was a cross. And thirdly, pray with the assumption that God wants to hear your prayers, that he likes to hear them, that he really loves you. Have a look at Revelation chapter 8 about the prayers of the saints, which includes you and I being like gold and by incense in golden bowls before God. God really loves our prayers, even the bad ones, even the incomplete ones, even the difficult ones. God likes to hear from us because he loves us. Those are some thoughts on humility as expressed in prayer. We'll talk about hunger and being smart in the next two episodes of Quiet Time Coaching. But I wonder what you think. What do you think is the best indicator of humility in prayer? What do you think about that? How do you see humility in prayer in action? What's the difference between confidence and arrogance or pride? What's the difference between false humility and true humility in prayer? And how does all of what we talked about today affect your prayer life? I'd love to know what you think. So could you leave a comment in the comments box wherever you see or hear this recording? Please do so. I would love to read your comments, and I know other people would as well. We learn best when we learn in community. So please post a comment and do me one just favor, a little favor. Please pass the link to this recording on to one other person who might benefit from what we've talked about here today. Just pass it on. Send them the link to the Facebook page, the website, the YouTube channel, or wherever you like. But do pass it on to one other person, please. And I hope that the next time you spend some time in prayer, that you can pray with a true biblical humility in a way that pleases God. I pray that you will find fulfillment in that, connection with God being strong, comfort from God, strength from God, wisdom from God, whatever you need from God, he will supply. But let's take the best humble heart we can to God the next time we pray. Take care and God bless.